Hello, ladies and gents. It's Tucker, and you are about to listen to the Tuckered Out podcast, sponsored by Queen City Grounds and Sonorous Wave. So sit back, relax. If you are on a long drive, look at the road, seriously, but listen. If you are in a coffee shop, good, because that's actually where I am right now. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
How we doing, everybody? We are back on Tuckered Out Podcast. It's really good to see y'all, even though I can't see y'all because, you know, it's right, a camera. Right. But anyway, I'm going to get into our next guest. First of all, we got our man Shakes here. I'm going to get into a little intro on the man. He's a spoken word artist. He's a publisher of two books. It's Personal Volume 1 and it's Personal Volume 2. And he's worked with big brands like ESPN and the Dungeon Family. What's up, Shakes?
What's up, man?
Dude. I'm excited you're here. Thank you for doing Tuckered Out.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes.
It's a pleasure.
So here's what's great, in my opinion. This, I feel like, is the best time to do a podcast. We're in a relaxing area. All cards are on the table. We're just going to chill and have a fun combo.
Right.
This is how we do it. This is the rules of the pod. Nothing crazy. And randomly, if I reference something or if you reference something, something's going to pop up right here.
Okay.
Watch this. A beautiful photo of Tucker in his golden days, pow, popped
up.
It's right there. I look great. Right. I don't know what the photo is. Marsha, it might be a bad photo. Marsha, don't do me like that. But it might be a
good
photo.
But it looks great.
Right, I think so.
Okay.
It might be really bad. It could be really bad. We'll find out when this comes out. So, dude, first of all, you are my first, technically, you're a little bit different than you're my first spoken word artist on the show.
Oh, that's dope.
And I think I'm very happy to have you on for a couple reasons. One reason is that your craft, in my opinion, is so incredibly hard to do. I'll tell you why. First of all, I grew up going to slam poetry and festivals. I loved it. I didn't realize how emotionally powerful that type of artistry is. And I got to see you for the first time months ago. And I was floored. So I just want to say that straight up. Your craft and what you do. And you also play drums, which is awesome. But what I've seen you do with when you've come to shows and you've performed, you're insane. You don't use a mic. And you're so incredibly powerful. And I just want to say thank you for gracing me with that energy. Because I've allowed myself to just have fun in your presence when you perform.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. It means a lot.
But I want to get into just who you are. So, where are you from, first of all?
I'm from Durham, North Carolina.
You're from the Bull City.
Yeah, from the Bull City.
Now I got fam in the Bull City.
Yeah, born and raised. East Durham, to be exact.
Okay, shoot. Yeah. I like that. Do you know about Motorco? Have you been there?
No, I've tried to work with Motorco, but they never respond to me.
What?
And I think I would do well.
Yeah, you would. Man. That's a fantastic venue. Oh, Durham. We'll talk later, Durham.
Yeah,
So you grew up in Durham. You went to NC Central.
No, I didn't go
to Central. Did you not go to NC Central?
Nah,
where'd you go?
So, big shout out to my dad, Patrick Jackson. He helped me get into Johnson C. Smith University here.
You were here?
Yeah. Oh. I was a rough kid, you know. But
We all are rough.
Because of him, he helped me to get a second chance at Johnson C. Smith. And Johnson C. Smith is what made me a man.
Nice. Yeah. What at Johnson Smith, where did you find your interest in spoken word? Was it very early on or was it in college?
So I've been writing forever.
Yeah.
So I remember my first poem I wrote at 6 years old.
Really?
You know, but my interest in poetry came from my grandmother and my mom, you know, but I would never share my stuff though.
Yeah.
I always kind of kept it in because my subject matter was a little different than what I would see other poets do.
Yeah.
Right? But, at an early age, I heard Big Rude, you know, on the Outkast album. And I didn't know what it was at the point, you know, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. So Big Rude had been an inspiration, you know, from what my mom and my grandmother had been kind of showing me, you know.
Yeah. When it came to those albums and just getting it from family, was there a moment you can recall where you did your first poem, I'm talking in front of people, where you tried it and maybe it was great, maybe it wasn't, but you did it, and that was the starting engine push of like what you're doing now.
Yeah, the first time I did a poem, yeah, I was almost grown.
Really?
Yeah, I was like 17, 18.
Okay.
But it was just that one time.
Really?
You know, and I didn't want to be too vulnerable in front of people because most of my poetry is like my life, what I go through.
Yep.
You know, things I'm dealing with.
Yep.
And then later on, I did one at school at Johnson C. Smith one time. Didn't do it again till years later.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started getting into the spoken word and performing aspect, you know. So it's been like 6 years now that I've been really, you know, going at it.
Talk to me about performing in front of peers in college, because I bet that was in itself. I couldn't do that.
Right.
I love music. I was starting to find my way with music when it came to college. I could not perform in front of people that were my same age. I bet I could do it in front of family. Yeah. I could not do it in front of my peers. So I'm just curious, like, was that easy? Or was that one of the harder stages?
It's never easy. It's never easy.
Yeah.
But, this is one poet by the name of Fuse.
Do we have a photo of Fuse?
Raleigh, Durham area. I definitely get you one, right?
Hey, Fuse.
He said something one time that always stuck with me.
Yeah.
He said, "You're never nervous. It's just your body charging you up for what you're getting ready to do." You know what I mean? So he said, "Just look at it as a charge." So ever since then, you know, I've been rolling with that.
Marsha, that might be my problem. I'm not noticing that's I'm charging up my
You're
body when I get
your body.
Nervous.
Yeah.
He charges. I don't. Do you charge when you get nervous? Is that a charge? That's a great quote. Yes, you do. When
so
you perform,
just,
you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you do. I think we all do it. He said that perfectly. My goodness.
You know, just think about it. Next time, you know, it's time to do something.
Yeah.
Know?
Dang, that's a great way of saying that. And speaking of like when you were getting into the poetry side of things, but you were still kind of figuring out just that side of life. You used to throw away your poems?
How the hell you know that?
I do my research. That's right.
Did I tell you that?
Maybe. I don't know. Artists, hey, if you want to come on the show, I do my research. I care. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I used to throw away my poems.
Why?
Because I felt like, so after I would write my poems down, I felt better.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't think anybody else would relate to it because it was my life.
Yeah.
So it's like, then my mom or my auntie, they would tell me that I need to share this with other people. It took me years to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I have every single poem I ever written because of them. Right.
There's some that are lost. Like I'm guessing. Can you remember like most of the things that you've written?
So I remember 90% of it because I already have. Like usually I have everything stored in my head. But you know, I like to write my stuff down because sometimes you can't. So that's a lot of memory.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like your brain can only hold but so much, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, get that out and start putting new stuff in.
And you do something that I love to do, which you kind of told me about, which more people I feel like need to do in the music industry if they're not doing it. But you have a notebook. And that's like your go-to primary place to
make sure
all the ideas are down. That has been a savior of my musical interests. I didn't realize how quick, and I feel like just because you write, and I'm more on the side of writing music than I am, or lyrics, than I am on the side of making music.
Okay.
So one thing that happens with me, and I'm curious if you can relate, is it's so funny how great an idea will flash into your mind, and then literally, like, within milliseconds, it's gone. And you pray that, like, what you had comes back.
Yes, so I don't care. It could be, I need to get more sleep, be honest with you, right?
Well,
so
we didn't get sleep last night off that concert, right, Marsha?
Right.
No.
So I don't care if I'm laying down.
Yeah.
If I have something that comes across my head,
yeah,
I'll write it down. Even if I have to grab my phone.
Yep.
You know, but I jot it down.
Yep.
Because there's been times to where I thought of some stuff. In the middle of the night, I'll wake up and be like, man, I remember it in the morning.
Ain't that the worst? That's never something happens. Like, well, I used to do that. I still need to kind of do it. I love to dream write. Like, dream writing is something that I feel like is so interesting. Because if you write down your – I used to do it right when I woke up. Like, write down your dream, and then you can literally remember the exact way the dream happened when you just go on with life. And I still can remember how a dream looks image-wise when I wrote down those dreams. And it's funny like that works with music. Like, and you know, as you get older, the brain gets bigger, the thoughts will become faster.
Right.
And that's what kind of stinks. It's not that it stinks, but it's definitely a struggle for musicians and creators and slam poetry and spoken word. It doesn't matter. Like, if you're doing any type of writing like that, I feel like, where you're trying to express emotion that powerfully, whew, it really is like doing, 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 and it's fun, but it can be a lot.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
So, one thing that I love is that you said that your grandfather really inspired your writing.
So, my grandmother.
Grandmother.
Yep.
Okay. So, what did she instill with you, and what is a story that you can tell that kind of puts you on the path from her that is powerful to you?
Oh, man. My grandmother was an older lady. You know, she grew up back in the day. You know, my grandmother used to hum a lot.
Really?
She used to hum a lot.
Yeah. So it's blueberries.
Yeah, it got to be. You know, but and I would come up with my own cadence while she would walk around the house and just
hum. You mean,
all
like,
the time.
As she was humming?
Yeah.
You, like, you'd write to the hum? Is that kind of. Really?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I bet y'all had a system. I can so it's see crazy. That being a system. Like, you know, y'all just sitting on the couch and one day,
So my grandmother would, so she had 13 kids.
Yeah.
And a host of grandkids.
Yeah.
So she was always moving around.
Yeah.
You know, and my mother is the knee baby, so she's one of the youngest ones. So I was with my grandmother a lot when my mom worked.
Yep.
So she'd be around the house cleaning and cooking, and I'd just be, you know, falling around, you know, writing.
Yeah.
And then my mother wrote poetry. I didn't know.
Oh.
Until one day I found a book. I was being a nosy kid.
Yeah. As
you know
we
what
all
I'm saying?
Are,
and
like.
I, looking at stuff, looking through stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I found her book.
Yeah. Man, I bet that was powerful.
Shit.
So it's blueberries, y'all. That's what happens when you don't share. Kids everywhere that watch this.
That's funny.
That's what happens. He didn't share what ultimately I could have had, but
yeah.
Then, and now we see what happened. Last thing I want to get into in this first segment is when it comes to so I'll say this. So you do spoken word. That's how I've seen you when performing.
Right.
But you play the drums for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So how did that enter your life?
Church.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was taught by DJ Fats. DJ Fats, the governor, he's part of the Butter Team DJs, you know, a legendary group in Durham.
Okay.
We
got a photo?
Yeah.
Ding.
He taught me. I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Really?
And I've been playing ever since.
Really?
Then I also play the alto saxophone.
Yes.
It's
yes.
crazy, right?
How's it, dude?
And I got that from my Uncle Randy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that something you took in different places? Like were you in band? Were you in different groups?
I was in band in middle school playing alto sax.
Yeah.
But I still play. I just, you know, but I don't play in front of everybody.
Oh, I want to see that in a spoken word show, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be at the house, man. I play. You know, I have a studio at home, so.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Respect. All right. We are going to get into a little part of the show I like to call just Spark, because Yes Theory, here's Yes Theory, hello Yes Theory, my favorite YouTube channel, make this game where you just have different questions. I got two questions right here just to kind of spark conversations. Okay. But before we get into that, before the camera started rolling on this next segment, we discussed favorite YouTube channels, and you said straight up, I would never know yours.
You would
so
never
I guess Kai...
Sanat?
I can never pronounce it. Sanat.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said no. And I said maybe a cooking channel. You said nope. So are you? Do you want to give me another clue before you say it?
She's an older white lady.
Oh, you love. Oh, I was about Martha. Martha
nope.
Stewart.
Nah,
nope. She don't have YouTube. Older white lady. Older white lady. Marsha, do we know a YouTube channel where an older white lady is running the YouTube channel? I can't think of one. I was thinking that, but no.
I love to meet Martha Stewart, but nah.
Who is it? What is it?
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. She's got stuff on YouTube?
Yeah.
Really?
I love Judge Judy.
Interesting. Why?
I need to meet. I don't know. Because she's stern, and it's funny. It's funny. You know, and I'm going to be real with you. Like, you learn it just for everyday things, you learn a lot.
Yeah, okay.
I'm no lawyer, you know what I mean? You know, but
you can defend yourself.
I can defend myself, you know what I mean? But yeah, I need to meet Judge Judy.
All right, shoot. So that's your like celebrity that like I need to.
I got to meet Judge Judy.
Man, I feel that way about Jimmy Fallon.
I would love to have Judge Judy on one of my poetry projects, like doing the intro or outro. I would love
that. That'd be sick. Oh, it's going to happen if you manifest it.
Most definitely.
I love that.
It's in there. It's in the air.
Yeah. Judge, come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're going to get into these questions. First one, this is about each other. So I'm going to answer for you, you answer for me. What is a compliment you think I hear often? And I'll answer for you.
What is a compliment I think you hear
that
often?
I hear.
You have a great soul.
Oh. I guess I've heard that a couple of times. I've been told I have an old soul just because I can talk to anyone and I can like, someone told me I laugh like an old soul. I was like, "That's like that's ridiculous."
That's a compliment. Yeah. That's a dope. That's a real dope compliment, man.
I think something that's been told about you, if I had to take a guess, is that you're very personable.
I hit it a lot.
Like very quick to be personable. Like you easily could have a connection with anybody in the room.
Most definitely.
If you're in a room, with a lot of people.
I hit it all the time. You know
what's
crazy?
What?
I don't like people.
You don't like people?
No.
Why not?
People are crazy.
We are crazy.
People
I'm
are crazy.
I get it. You are
you know,
too, though.
I am.
We are crazy. Marsha,
you know?
I'm going to straight up tell you. You crazy. You Honey Nut Cheerio crazy.
Yeah, I'm definitely Honey Nut Cheerio crazy. You know what I mean? But I don't mind building relationships, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind getting to know someone. So
yeah.
People as a whole, I'm all right with them. But I don't build a relationship.
Yeah.
And talking and checking up. Yeah, I'm good with that.
I like the honesty, man. I appreciate that. Okay. We're going to go into this next question. Let's see what we got. I like that answer, though. Appreciate you for the soul.
Most
like
definitely.
That. If there was a movie about your life right now, which actor would best play you and why? That's a great question. What do you think? I want you to answer for yourself, but what do you think an actor, you cannot go wrong. I'm complimented by... What you think, Marsha? An actor that would play me in
Tom
my own
Hanks.
Movie right now. Tom, for real?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tom Hanks, one of my favorites.
Maybe a young Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He's a little older now.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of my favorite. Tom
you think
Hanks.
He would play me in a movie?
Yeah.
About
definitely.
Myself?
I
he's good at
it.
Those doc. He's good at those, like, document. Well,
yeah.
Not documentary
autobiography
movies,
movie. Yeah, he's dope, man.
Yeah, okay. That's a. What you think, Marsha? You don't know at all. You know, you could have said, like, Ryan Reynolds or Chris Hemsworth, but you didn't have to. That's fine. What would you do? What would your person be if you could choose anybody?
If I could choose anybody. Woo. Man, there's so many. I love movies, so.
Man.
Is
there someone that you've seen like in interviews that kind of matches your style?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be cliche, but, man, you know, Denzel.
Let me tell you. Denzel's
incredible, yo.
You know who you kind of look like is Anthony Mackie, and I feel like he's one of the most handsome, like, gentlemen.
I'm
like, yeah,
before,
like,
man.
I
one
love Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, like, but Denzel, you know, because Denzel is, and Denzel incredible, man. Like,
Denzel.
He's very melodic,
mm-hmm.
You know? When it comes to acting, he can play anything, man.
He's something else, man.
Yeah.
He about to be in that Gladiator 2 movie, man.
Yeah,
that's about to be
fire. Yeah, I'm ready to see it.
Crazy.
I'm ready to see it.
Hey guys, thank you so much for watching the podcast, and thank you to our sponsor, Queen City Grounds, for providing the location. You can find a perfect blend of coffee, cuisine, and entertainment while you are here. It is in-house made coffee. There is brunch and dinner options. There is a full bar and amazing live events. So come check it out and stay grounded. Thank you to Sonorous Wave for powering this podcast. Sonorous Wave is an amazing music collective based here in Charlotte. Their slogan is artistry versus the algorithm, and they are so good at putting all events into a music setting, and they kill it. They are amazing with every event they are in association with, so check them out. All right, so we're going to get into just a little bit more conversation. Okay. One thing that I found out about, which before the podcast I mentioned, and you were like, wait, you know about that? And I was like, yeah, because I do. I love my research. So you have an amazing amount of shoes.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, I had a time where shoes were my life.
Yeah.
Like, I had the LeBron 11s. I had the KD 6s. I had the foam posits. Mm-hmm. I did not have Jordans. Nothing against Jordans. But I had, like, a massive amount of shoes. Hyper Dunks.
Yeah.
I was all that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nowadays I'm taking a little bit more chill. I still have some of those shoes. But please tell the audience and Marsha and I just about this giant shoe collection you have. How many do you have to start off?
Close to 300. Yeah.
And as you said, every day of the year could be covered new shoe.
Well, more than three, because I can wear a different pair of shoe every day. I was at a car lot the other day, and the guy was like, "Yo, every time I see you, you got a different pair of shoes on."
And they're clean too, I bet.
Yeah, he said, "I've seen you every day for 2 weeks."
Man.
Like, yeah, you know, but I mean, I have Jordans. I'm not a real big Jordan fan.
Okay.
My favorite sneaker is the Bo Jackson.
Ooh, I haven't seen that. What's that about? Why is it your favorite?
Man, it's just my cousin actually turned me on to Bo Jackson. My cousin Marquise.
Okay.
We call him Platinum.
All right.
And ever since he always had a pair of Bo Jacksons when I was coming up. And as growing up, you know, running behind him, I used to always see the colorways, and I've always been a big fan of Bo Jackson. But I have some everything, man. If I like the shoe, I'm a
buy good.
It. Yeah, yeah. I like boots.
Yeah.
You know, I have different. I got crazy colorway Timberlands. You know what I mean? Bo Jacksons.
Yes.
I love Air Maxes.
Are you a fan of, like, so? Just to go back to kind of what I know with basketball shoes, like, do you have any of those kind of, like, LeBrons?
Yeah, most definitely. I play ball too.
Yeah,
so,
heck yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got LeBrons. I have some KDs. I'm not a big fan of all the KDs. I have a couple Kobe's. I'm not a big fan of the Kobe shoe, but I had some of the colorways.
I had the Kobe Neons, or I had the Kobe Independence Days.
Yeah,
Kobe 8s.
I have Dunks.
I feel like those are the most comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I have some of everything, man.
I got a funny story for you. So I luckily had the amazing opportunity of going courtside to an NBA game years ago. I was very young. I don't know how my uncle got the connection, but he did. And I went down, and it was the Hornets versus the Mavericks. And me and my friend went down, and at the time, we were just chilling kind of courtside. We didn't technically have exact courtside. We had the seats right behind courtside.
Close enough.
But until those people were there who we knew about, we could sit courtside. And that wasn't until, like, the end of the first quarter. But before the game even started, I had the neon foam posits on.
Yeah.
Which at the time, I didn't realize were, like, the heaviest basketball shoes you could get. So Dorian Finney-Smith from the Mavericks spotted that and came and sat next to me. Here's a picture of Dorian Finney-Smith. And he sat next to me and was just like, "Hey, bro, like, I see those shoes. You look fire, bro." And I just looked at him and was like, "You want them?" And he goes, "That's the heaviest shoe in the market." Hell no. And just walked away. I was like, all right. Like,
those and the Ewings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavy.
Yes, very much so. You said the units?
Ewings. Patrick
Ewings.
Ewings,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. I know what you're talking about. Man, I thought that was so funny, though. He was so like, "Nah, I ain't wearing that. Hell no." Like, he quickly was like, "No." But that's really cool. And you said you have, like, a room that's, like, pretty massive to hold all these shoes, right?
I mean, I have a room that, you know, has some some of the shoes in there.
Man, I kind of, that's me, but with musical equipment and I don't know. Do I have a room? That's what Christmas stuff. Whew, I'm a loser for that. I would have a room for Christmas stuff.
Oh yeah.
I want to get into another aspect of your life, which I love that you've talked about before at shows that I've seen you perform at, and I just want you to elaborate and tell me a little bit about this, because this is awesome. But you worked with youth that are troubled.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that and what you do on the usual with them and how you help them.
Where should I start? So, first of all, I want to, you know, show love to Arkeen Brooks. He's the he runs the program.
Okay.
Right? It's called Project Bill. Right. And, you know, they recruited me to come in. And what we do is some of everything. We work with youth from 12 to ages 21.
Okay.
Right. And anywhere from GD programs, we help get them into trade schools, getting high school diplomas, jobs, food disparity, court cases, you know, and not to get too much into what they do. All the time, the kids, but man, we have from murder charges to gun charges to theft to stealing cars.
Yeah.
You know, and we work with kids who also have other like issues in the home as well.
Yeah.
You know, some kids that may deal with abuse, sexual assault, who may have experienced that and now they think it's okay for them to do. They don't know. Mental health. You know, so and it's every day for me.
Mm.
Every day, it's no days off for me.
Yeah, what inspired you to kind of get into that?
Everybody needs somebody in their corner that believes in them more than they believe in themselves.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting that.
Because everybody, you know, everybody's not as fortunate as me. And I say that I'm gonna use me for an example because it's hard using other people. But I was fortunate enough to not go through certain things. I went through some stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm also not one of the ones who holds on to a lot of depression, you know, and stress. Right. I find an outlet. And a lot of times when you're around people like that, some of that can rub off on them. You know, it can help them a lot. You know, so even if I talk to a million kids, if I get through at least two or three of them, I did my job.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't look for anything from it, you know?
I really appreciate that about you because I remember you kind of talked about that when you were at a performance that I got to see recently. And it's simple stuff like that just, thank Lord you're a human in this world, you know? Many things could have happened that could have changed the trajectory of your life, my life, but like this fact that you're doing that and you chose to do that and it's a blessing to you and you love that you're helping these young adults out and these kids out, that is incredibly epic and just thank you.
And it's a part of my journey, man, because I knew my dream was to help somebody.
Yeah.
Right? So once I knew I could really do poetry, be a world renowned poet, and to be a father. You know what I'm saying? And I'm living my dream.
Yeah.
Like, I'm living my dream, man. You know.
And add that and tuckered out, too. That was part of your dream, too, coming on the show.
It was because, you know, in different aspects, though. You know, interviewing and because I'm here off of me doing poetry.
Yeah.
That's part of my dream. It's part of my journey. You know, everything isn't always monetary.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is always monetary, but I'm living my dream, man. Like, I
love it.
I'm happy.
I love it, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. That's why you're good at checking in on people. Yeah, you've done that with me. So. Like, another thing I want to talk to you about, because I love that you do this just because I'm a foodie. And I found this out about you, and I was like, dang it, I need to go to Durham pretty soon to check this out. But you have your own hot dog trailer.
Yeah, I do.
And
I do.
Bull City Dogs.
Bull City Dogs.
Like, logo, Ching. Talk to me about that. How did you get interested in that and where'd that come from?
Okay, so coming up, right, my grandma, you know, at a certain point, her and my granddad were still working a little bit.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes we'd just be at the house by ourselves.
Yeah.
And my grandmother made homemade chili. but we couldn't touch the stove. We had a microwave. So hot dogs, chili, mustard, onions, homemade slaw.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, like, you could never go wrong with a good hot dog. So during, I always wanted to have my own, you know, business, hot dog business in particular. I started off with a hot dog cart.
Nice.
I went and bought a hot dog cart for like, I think it was like $1,200 or something like that. 6 months later, 6-7 months later, I had me a trailer.
Nice.
And I built the trailer. This one guy told me I couldn't do it, so I went home. I did it. Shout out to one of my guys, JD. He came, helped me out. And I've been rolling ever since.
I love that.
So every hot dog is named after a street in the neighborhood I grew up in.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Give me an example. What is what's your favorite?
My favorite is called the Walton.
The what?
Walton. Walton Street.
Okay.
Yeah. We have the Cushman. We have the Wedgedale. Those are all streets in my, you know, in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So anywhere from Carolina Way, which is, you know,
yeah, oh, I know about Carolina Way. Yeah.
Chili, onions, mustard, to jalapenos, mm-hmm, and chili. To where jalapeno chilies and cheese. Mm. I have straight slaw dogs. I have a slaw pepper and onion dog. I have sausage dogs as well. I have a steak and cheese hot dog. You know, I have a mac and cheese hot dog.
Marshall, we know what we're doing later, going to Durham.
And I do homemade chips. You know, I have homemade chips on there. And I've been going back and forth with agriculture now, trying to get it into stores. Not trying, but am going to get it into stores. You know, homemade chips, you know, where I slice them, you know, my own seasoning and all.
I make my own seasoning, too. Yeah. I feel you on that.
I like to cook, so.
What is your go-to put on a hot dog? What you got, Marshall? What do you like on a hot dog? I feel like I have a feeling. I know. Mustard. What type of mustard? Just regular yellow or honey? Okay.
Yeah.
That's it? Just mustard? Oh.
Pickles. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a chili fan. I go.
Yeah.
Whew.
I have homemade chili.
What? No, what you mean I look like it?
Little onion. Okay.
Oh, you say I look like it that I'd be a chili guy? That's where I thought you went.
Nah.
You said
what?
A little onion. A little onion.
Yeah.
I love onion.
Man. What's your go-to?
I said chili, I believe. So I would do a little bit of chili, not much ketchup, but a little bit of ketchup with the chili, and then probably some onion.
I don't want no ketchup on my
hot dog. No ketchup at all. That's an L. No.
So my auntie does mayo on her hot dog.
Okay,
I don't do it.
I can't do it.
You know, I don't do it.
You do it. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah, my aunt
she do
does
it. She do it.
So.
Yes. Yeah, as a kid. And then your taste buds took off, and that's where things changed.
So my aunt is the reason why I have mustard packs on my truck. Mayo packs.
Ah, they had to put them on there.
I had to put them. I'm like, you know what?
You know?
And next thing you know, everybody, you got mayo?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. I mean, all right. Another thing I want to mention before we go to the next segment is I mentioned it at the beginning. You published 2 books.
Yep.
And not only did you publish 2 books, but the books that you published have a lot of different inspiration that come from different artists in the books. So talk to me a little bit about that. And I'd love, tell me a little bit about these books.
So shout out to Will. We worked together.
We got photos.
Extensively, yep.
Ding.
Shout out to Will. We worked together extensively to publish the books, right?
Okay.
And in my books, it's all my poetry.
Yeah.
Right? But I have quotes and artwork from other artists.
Are you talking about like art?
Book.
Like,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Every poem has a quote and a piece of artwork that goes with it.
Gotcha.
Yep. Gotcha. So, and its name is personal because I'm not, and this is not a knock to any other poet.
Yeah.
But I'm not the poet who, a lot of poets out here, you know, when they do it well, is they talk, all the subject matter is the same almost.
Okay.
You know, whether it's police brutality, you know, sex, you know, and mine is personal, came from is just my life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really do the moon and the star poems and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and it's personal. It describes me. I have it tattooed on my hand. It's personal, you know, so.
I love it. Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Volume 1 and Volume
2. Come on now. Here's the photo of the book.
Yep.
Check it out. That's amazing, man. Thank you for doing that, only because
Appreciate it.
I think not only are you sharing your creativity, you have an outlet to have other people share
Most
their creativity,
definitely.
Not just through quotes, but through art,
yeah,
which
I
is
feel
powerful.
Like, you know, if I don't have the biggest platform,
yeah,
but I created my platform because nobody would give me space and opportunity to be on theirs,
yeah,
right? So if I have it and I know how it is being an artist,
yeah,
come on, man, like, you know, add you some sauce in it, you
yeah.
know?
That's kind of how I feel about Tuckered Out sometimes, because, like, ultimately, I love someone else's happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I just love making sure that what is doing good by the world, if that's allowing someone else's creativity to be shown, like, even if it's through an interview, like, that is, they have that capability. People have that capability. So I feel you, like, allowing others to kind of be a part of your goal. I feel
that's
like that's
definitely.
Such a powerful and enlightening thing that, you know, I personally want just more of the world to keep taking on, which luckily I feel like it is. We're in a world where you have so many outlets to allow for creativity and for things to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. Appreciate
Thank you,
you for
appreciate
for
that.
Doing that for sure.
I
got a fun would you rather
okay.
thing, and literally would you rather. You don't have to. If you want to elaborate on one, you can. You don't have to elaborate on some
okay.
of these.
Gotcha.
I'll answer two. If we have a disagreement, I'm down to we'll talk.
But.
All right, let's see what we got. Would you rather eat salads or drink smoothies every day for a week? Smoothies or salads? Yeah.
Smoothie, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, though, because that Chipotle Caesar.
Yeah,
it's pretty
good.
And chicken added to the salad? No, I'll go smoothies. No. Would you rather be the victim of carjacking or identity theft?
Carjacking.
Completely true. I would not get near identity theft.
Carjacking.
Nah. Too much info. All right, let's see. Would you rather be the most trusted sidekick of Billy the Kid or Al Capone? I don't know. I don't know much about, I'm not a big fan of that old time, like the older. What you
Al
think,
Capone.
Marcia? Yeah, what you think? Well, I know who Al Capone is, but I don't know much about Billy the Kid. I'd probably say Al Capone, but honestly, that's probably what made me more nervous because I feel like there's more money involved. A sidekick of a trusted sidekick of Billy the Kid or Al Capone. I don't know much about him.
You're not going to jail if you don't say nothing.
I know, but like.
Why, are you going to rat?
All right. Let's see. Would you rather eat toilet paper or notebook paper? These are random today.
Neither,
but if I had to choose, notebook.
Yeah.
Toilet? Hell no. Notebook.
It's crazy.
These are interesting. Okay, here we go. Would you rather your job offers a nap time or a recess?
Nap time.
For sure nap time. For sure. Actually, you know, I'm going to back up. I'll say recess, only because apparently that's something that, like, the world studies that I saw recently says that's something that is incredibly needed.
Recess?
With just, like, well, more of just, like, an outdoor,
okay.
get outside, get active type presence.
I mean, if you give me a recess time, I feel like taking me a blanket outside and sleeping in the sun. You know what I'm saying?
In this 40-degree weather?
Nah, not in this one.
Are you a cold or hot fan? Like, when it comes to weather?
Spring.
Yeah, but, like, I like 40-degree weather. I do most of my activities outside in 40-degree weather.
I like riding my motorcycle.
Mm.
So when it's too hot outside, you sweat on the motorcycle.
Yo, yeah. And the leather.
And then in the cold, your finger, even through your glove, your fingers be cold. Give me a spring.
Yeah, but you don't
time,
sweat.
Man.
I hate sweating.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Give me spring. Give me a spring.
I like spring. I like you spring. I like fall, too. All right. Would you? No, we ain't doing that one. We'll do two more quick ones. Would you rather only be able to watch Netflix or watch local TV, local network TV?
Netflix.
Here's why I'll say local TV. I think Netflix, I think Netflix gives you everything so quickly, so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel like I would probably benefit more from local TV, just
now,
because
be
it's slower.
I don't remember the last time I watched local TV.
So what?
I don't remember the last time I watched local TV.
Me either. No, I watch YouTube TV. That counts, technically.
YouTube?
YouTube TV.
TV?
Yeah, that counts. I mean, they have commercials.
Well, we have live TV.
Yeah, but, yeah, okay. I was thinking, like, that's, huh? Yeah, but you can, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess local TV means, like, you can't change what you're about to watch at all, I guess.
Got you. Okay.
All right, last one. Would you rather get rid of toll roads or first class on airplanes?
Toll roads.
Toll, of course.
Toll roads.
I'm fine with first class. They don't do shit. Yeah, right. Toll roads.
Toll
what
road.
The hell?
Now, I'm going to tell you listen.
Yeah.
Right. Not only that. So, you know, when
taxes are everywhere.
When I ride my motorcycle on the highway through a toll road, I get on the median.
Oh, you cheat.
I cheat.
Oh.
I get on the
media. My big-ass Nissan can't do that, let me tell you.
I mean, in my truck or my car.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's, yeah.
So, last thing we kind of do is I like to do a little outro that involves, well, so one thing, there's going to be a performance at the end of you doing your poetry, which I'm super excited about.
Okay.
We'll figure out the details of that later. But one thing I like to do, and something I like, and as you kind of, I think I did it when you performed, is I like to show appreciation for whoever I have on and why I appreciate you. So one thing I want people to know about him real quick is that if you have him, you guys, like, first of all, get to meet him, or if you guys have him perform his poetry, anything like that, he's incredibly accommodating. Like, and I think he knows it. But, like, you are so easy to work with
and so easy to just, like,
as someone that kind of needed to know the details of what you were doing with the performance when I worked with you, you gave me everything, and it was very easy to just know what was about to happen and very easy to know what your plan was. It was very easy to see everything come together, and I didn't have to worry about nothing. And as someone that does, you know, the podcast but also works with creating performances, I love that. It's very underrated, so I appreciate that.
Oh, man, thank you.
One thing I had mentioned to you as the camera was on, but also kind of off camera, was that you've checked on me before, and you've known me, like you've had my information now for a little bit of time, but you simply one day like checked on me and was just like, "Hey, are you doing good?" Pretty much asking like, "Are you doing good mentally?"
Yeah.
And it was random, but I didn't care. Like, I was like, that is so needed in the world sometimes, where someone's just like, "Hey, just thought about you, like, how's everything going right now?" And that, in my opinion, this is very broad, but in a way it saves lives. I feel like people don't do that enough, and people that are, maybe this is a little darker, but like, are on, say, the suicide watch, like the checkups on just making sure people know that you're there and they don't have to put in work for trying to get someone to notice them, that's incredibly powerful. The fact that you just thought of me in the instance and checked on me, incredibly powerful. Another aspect of just who you are that I really appreciate is when you perform, it looks like you lock eyes with almost everybody in the building when you're performing. And it's almost like you're pretty much showing the audience and whoever you're performing in front of, look, I'm here and I'm going to talk to all of y'all. I'm not talking to, like, up front, like, I'm looking and I am speaking loud with all of y'all. That is incredibly powerful with a performance, because as an audience member, I love being an audience member. If you feel like you're in a way a part of the show, or at least you know that you have someone that's giving you eye contact and just wants to give you that energy, it is incredibly powerful, and it is something that is why you have succeeded so much at shows. That's why people have asked about you at the shows. That's why people have so quickly come up to you, and I've seen it, and compliment you, and that's why people continuously snap and say, "Oh, hell yeah," during the shows. I see it all the time, and it's very easy to see why. It's so easy to see why.
I appreciate that, brother. So to respond, you know, as I kind of mentioned earlier, everybody doesn't have the same, you know, outlook on situations, right? And that's okay, right? But if it's so, man, it's so much crazy stuff going on, man, in the world, you never know what anybody dealing with. You know what I mean? And my thing is I don't want nothing from anybody. Like, I'm good. you know, I'm okay.
You're happy.
You know, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if not, hey, man, hop on the phone. You all right? Call me.
For real.
It is what it is, you know, because mentally, everybody doesn't have the same capacity mentally.
Yeah.
Right? But, man, as long as you know you got somebody that can, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, you need to holler at somebody, man.
Of course.
That could change a life, right? So, like, when, you know, people, sometimes, like, I'm hanging out, right? I might just randomly speak to somebody. But would you know him? Nah, I don't. But, you know, you never know what that hey just did for him for the rest of his day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know what that hello, excuse me, how are you doing did for her. You don't know. You never know, man.
You're not supposed to, in my opinion.
You're not supposed to. It's not my job to know.
Yeah, you just know? Do what you do.
I'm just doing God's work, man.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, man.
You know, I don't want nothing from it.
And that's incredibly appreciated. Thank you again.
I appreciate
for real.
It, brother.
Before we head out, is there anything coming up? This is going to be coming out in January. Talk to us about what's coming up with life.
Coming up, I have a poetry EP coming out.
Come on.
It'll be coming out in March.
Okay.
You know, maybe 5 records, just poems.
I love it.
You know, I have some pretty big features.
Come on.
You know, some of my people that I looked up to.
Yes.
And sometimes I can't even believe that I was able to get these people, you know. So volume 3 of It's Personal coming out next year as well.
Okay. Yes.
I have volume 3, 4, and 5 done already.
Wow.
So putting them out, and I'm gonna be applying for the Grammys.
Really?
You know, poetry.
Come on.
Yeah, for next year. So
that's exciting. I love that, you know? Dude.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that.
Looking to expand the program as well, Project Build, where we work with the kid, looking to expand that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
And hopefully Tucker will be bringing me back,
dude.
You know, to So Far Sounds.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, quite a few times.
Come
and
on,
maybe,
now.
And maybe hopefully I can get a record with Tucker.
Hey, now.
I mean? I'm just a
hey
poet.
Now.
You know what I'm saying? You know?
I love it, dude. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Appreciate you
for real,
me,
man.
Bro.
Like, this has been awesome. And again, check him out. It's Shakes. What's the handles real quick?
Instagram is Shakes, SH8KESNC on Instagram.
That's right.
And Twitter, if you use Twitter. I'm still learning Snapchat. Same thing on Snapchat. I mean, Snapchat and what's the other one? TikTok.
And YouTube.
And YouTube is same thing. So you find me, Shakes and see.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you guys have a fantastic day. Check us out as always. And we'll see y'all later. Stay grounded.
Appreciate it.